Okay, we're gonna go. I guess we'll start in Perek, chapter 13, section 2. I think we began this last time, but we'll start from the beginning again. I'm going to be reading from the once again from the Michal Schwartz. This is Mer Devuchim in Lashon HaKodesh in Hebrew, and then maybe we'll translate from the Pinnas. Da'atem shel anoshim al oides kabbas ha'olam u'chidushay. The opinions of people on the either the eternity of the world or chidushay or its creation ex nihilo. The das kol ha'mamin sheyesh b'nimtza loya. We're speaking about whoever believes there's a God. Hein shalai. In other words, the Rambam is saying is that you have to first believe that there's a God. In Chelek Gimel Perek Yud Zayin, the Rambam speaks about Hashkacha, and he says we're not going to deal with people who don't believe in God. That's the apikolsin. We'll just list the opinion of those who believe in God. Hader Rishona, the first opinion, v'idaz kol ha'maminim b'teres Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashalom. These are those who believe in Teres Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashalom. He she'esa olim kulo, the entire world, da'inu kol nimtza zulas hakel yisoleh. Everything, with the exception of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, hevia kelyas aliyad lidei metzias la'acha heda ha'gova v'amuchta. Kodesh Baruch Hu brought everything into existence after, I guess, ha'eder ha'gomor, the complete absence, the complete and absolute absence. So the translation here of Shlomo Pinnas is, right, was brought into existence by God after having been purely and absolutely non-existent. Anyway, v'sha'kelius Allah hayanim z'lavada k'shein imoy davar. So in other words, it posits the existence of God when nothing else existed. Okay, the exclusive existence of God. Lo malach, there was neither an angel, lo galgal, there wasn't a celestial sphere. Lo mashmatoich ha-galgal, nothing inside the sphere. Oliyachem ikein evil de metzias es kolam nemtzayim ha'ela, and after that, Kodesh Baruch Hu brought into existence all of these things. Kefi shehem. Right? In accordance with what they are, in other words, the malachim, the angels, the spheres, built side of the chepzai. The world was brought into existence in accordance with his will. So, Kodesh Baruch Hu's will is central, as we'll see in the Rambam later on. Loi midover, not from anything else. In other words, that's called creation ex nihilo. Yesh mi'ayin. As in the Rambam, shegab azman atzmahu meklal habruin. Also, time is also something which is created. Right? That's what Shlomo Pinnas says. Right? Time itself being one of the created things. And that's what we're going to focus on today, that Kodesh Baruch Hu created time. Sheazman toli b'tenua. So, the Rambam says because time is contingent or connected with movement, v'tenua hi mikra b'na. And tenua, movement, is, I'm using here the translation over here, which says, Moshe is an accident in what it is moved. The word accident is a very, misleading translation. But what it means is, it's a description of something. You know, it's a state. It's a state of, it's a state of being among many other states. You know, what I think Mikra means, it's a state.
Well, like, okay. Yeah, toward the end, when he talks about when he talks about negative theology, the word accident, Pinnas always uses to mean something that's it's a description. It's not talking about that.
Yeah, an adjective. Yeah, but I think here we'll speak about it because he speaks about colors too and everything. But no matter, it's a state. In other words, not the thing in and of itself. It's a state of the thing. The thing is in a certain in a physical state, but can be one of possible states. So it's not the thing in and of itself. It's a scientific description or a kinematic dynamic description of the thing itself. In other words, basically, the movement itself. So the Rambam says like this. The Rambam proves, why is time something which is created? Because the Rambam says that movement itself, is something which is created. Time is contingent upon movement. And therefore, because of that, by ipso facto, time also has to be created. This was created after nothing. Okay, now, this is important because we see here that the Rambam, that the Rambam is basic in the Sabbath. Actually, this is actually based upon Aristotle, that time is really something which is not abstract, but rather something which is a property of movement. And we'll go into this in a little while. But let's just go a little bit further in the Rambam. Kasher Oimrim, when we say, when we make the statement, HaKer HaYolif Nesha Barsa Oilim, God was before he created the world. We make the statement, God existed before he created the world. So he says, B'yais HaMila Haya Meir Alzman, even though the statement God was before he created the world is a temporal description, in other words, a description of a time before the creation of the world, which you might say is an absurdity according to the Rambam, because by definition, time is first created only, time doesn't exist before the creation of the world, since time is also created. In other words, anything that a person can think of, which is infinite, right? That is before the creation of the world. This goes on infinitum. Kol zo shir zaman oidimu zaman. So the Ram, it's something in the mind. It's not a real thing. To use the Pinnis translation, he says, accordingly, one saying God was before he created the world, where the word was is indicative of time, and simply all the thoughts that were carried along in the mind regarding the infinite duration of his existence before the creation of the world, all of them are due to a supposition regarding time or to an imagining of time, and not due to the true reality of time. In other words, you can't speak about time in a real sense, in a scientific sense, of having existed before the creation of the world, by definition. So that which we say God was before the creation of the world, it has no meaning in time. Has no temporal meaning, right? Kesbanu mikra, believe something, because time is a state, right? Without any doubt, says the Rambam. It's like any state or description which is created just like black and white, or colors. That's also mikra. Av she'enu mimin ha'echus, elahu beklalus mikra tzom l'tenua. In other words, evidently, time is different than black and white, right? It's not a quality, but rather it's something which is connected with motion. But says the Rambam, Kifisha Bola Misha Mavinus Divri Aristotle, Havala Sazaman, Vamisas Betsyusa. Anyone who really understands Aristotle will understand that time is really connected with movement, and it's not like a description of black and white, but nonetheless, it represents a state, right? A state of movement, right? And therefore, therefore necessarily has to be created, and therefore cannot exist before the creation of the world. Now, I just want to go on a little bit further. And then we'll go back and see a little bit what he means. I don't know if you're kan inyan. So the Rambam says, I want to explain something, make something clear. Asher avapisha eno min hanoisi shana oiskimo. Even though it's something that we're not really dealing with, which is a signal that actually there's going to be a big insight here. Whatever the Rambam says, we're not really dealing with right now. It's probably a snapping and sending out a signal that the alert, attentive reader, discerning reader should pay attention. This will be very, very helpful. In other words, there are many people who believe that time is something like a secret, a mysterious thing. Kagon Galianus Vizulasoi. He picks on Galen, G-A-L-E-N. The whole concept basically perplexed them. In other words, these philosophers raised the question and were in doubt whether time has really exists, whether it's imaginary. So they called it a state of a state. It's not really a descriptive state, but it's like something more abstract than a state. In other words, descriptions of states that are properties, Kegoyin Hatzvayim, for example, colors and ta'amim and tastes. In other words, if I say something is a color brown or something tastes salty, so that's something that everybody understands. That's a description of a physical state which is immediately apparent to our perception. There are other types of descriptions. For example, how shiny is the color? Vakimus, or agulus bakav, or how round something is, or crooked. In yonam nistama oy. In other words, these are more like geometrical concepts, which are not immediate. You know, they're less perceptible in the world. In other words, they're sort of like more abstract descriptions. What's color is an immediate description, which a person immediately, in other words, recognizes and senses and perceives. And so is taste. But for example, if something is round, it's a little bit more abstract. And certainly if something is moving, something is in dynamical motion, it's going from one state to another. So this movement is like more abstract. So what we have is two things which are acting at the same time. In other words, time somehow is a description of movement. But movement itself is something which is changing, which is describing, you know, a change of different states. In other words, black and white is a stationary state. Movement is less stationary, and time is somehow a description of that. So basically, time moves like you can't even catch it. Once you seem to catch the present, it becomes elusive and moves away. Right? So this thinking, you know, has the consequence that time becomes very, very distant, very hidden. But says the Rambam, the proper thing is l'shita seino, according to the way we think. But time is created like everything else. Therefore, Kosh Bohu could not have brought the world to existence at the beginning of any time. Because time is one of the things which are created. Says the Rambam, I want you to reflect upon this thing very, very much. Because you won't have to argue people who are not aware of these things. Right? If you say that there was time before the creation of the world, God existed before the creation of the world, you have to believe in the eternity of the universe. Because time definitely has to be a description of something. And therefore it has to be that something existed before the world was created. One has to get out of this. Who is this guy? Right? And the Rambam actually refers to him. Rambam actually refers to him in chapter 73, Perak Ayin Gimel, in the third assumption, in the first chalek. And there he also refers to the Inyan of Zman. He says on page 209 in the Schwartz edition, brought them to confusion, philosophers, they didn't understand it. Until Gayana says, he said, time is divine, it's a divine thing. You can't really understand what time is. Okay, now. First of all, I think we're going to have to need a little bit of a background here to understand really what is the Rambam speaking about. And in particular, what I want to do is, I want to turn to the sheets that I gave out. This is a book which I came across by browsing in the National Library. Was it the title of the Paldes? But anyway. I came across this book, The Physical World of the Greeks, which is actually a translation of the Hebrew work by someone, S. Samborski. anyway, it's published by London Routledge and Kegan Paul, I think, which is actually a Chashuva publisher. I think he seems to publish a lot of the important works on philosophy. So that itself is FSA, a shtickel haskama, I think that's what he's talking about. Those of you who are in the National Library, it's number D297. You go up the little, the winding steps of the philosophy section. It's right there in Greek philosophy. And I want to read from page 238 from this work.
What's the title?
It's called The Physical World of the Greeks. D297. It's a very good book. I've actually xeroxed most of the book. I should have just whatever. I don't think you can buy it anymore, but I xeroxed most of the book. It's the best book I could find on this. You know, I searched through the science library. There's a science library there, and I couldn't find anything as good. This one seems to be the best. Anyway, so here he speaks about time. I think it's very important. Maybe we'll go through this. On page 230. By the way, I tried to browse through and look for works on, you know, Galenus in Hebrew, refers to Galen, G-A-L-E-N. And I couldn't find that Galen actually speaks about time, and certainly not about the abstract divine nature of time. Galen was a very, very famous physician. He spoke a lot about muscles and muscular movement, but I didn't find any sources that he really spoke about time. Now, I did see over here that in Schwartz there's a footnote. When the Rambam brings Galenus, there's a footnote number 7 on page 298. He says, "Ru'u si Eisenman, di Eisenman." So this is what I was looking for. So actually, Eisenman wrote a book called, it says, David Eisenman, Maimonides' Philosophic Criticism of Galen, and it says New Haven, MD Thesis, Yale University. Now, it's not a book, but someone wrote a thesis on this, but I have no way of getting to his thesis, and it also says MD Thesis.
You know how to find it.
No, it's also an MD, very good, maybe find it, it's an MD Thesis, which seems to be, he was in the medical school. Meister Galen was a physician. He was a doctor. It's his MD thesis, Yale University. I mean, we have to get, I mean, maybe he says more on this, but it's very, very, I'm very surprised that there's no, there doesn't seem to be any record that Galen, at least Galen's major work was on time. So anyway, so this was the best, but let's go to...
Which was footnote 7 on page 1?
Footnote 7. Footnote 7, page 298. He footnotes this to Eisenman. I don't know. Anyway. Okay, I'm going to read from this, since you don't have this in front of you. So this is from Samborsky. On page 238, the second paragraph. Just as the section of nature, in quotes, by experiments, he says, to use Bacon's happy definition, was foreign to the Greek, so the corresponding theoretical process of describing nature in mathematical terms was also alien to his spirit. In other words, the Greeks did not describe nature in mathematical terms. This began actually with Galileo, and it reached its peak with Newton. And of course, since then, we've been describing nature not only in mathematical terms, but we don't even understand nature as physical anymore. Once more, we must turn to the beginning of the modern period to appreciate the decisive role in the rapid development of the natural sciences, played by the application of mathematics to them. In antiquity, the use of mathematics in physical problems was confined to static phenomena, where a mechanical question could easily be translated into geometrical or arithmetical terms and to simple kinematic phenomena in which there exists simple relations between the distance covered and the time taken. It is true that although Aristotle actually used the concept of velocity as a relationship of distance and time, he gave no precise mathematical definition. I mean, the definition of Newton would be what's called usually D over T, or in a ratio. Accordingly, there is no hint of suggestion of any quantitative definition of accelerated motion dependent upon the concept of acceleration, change of velocity with time. If velocity changes, that's called acceleration. This revolutionary step was taken by Galileo. Interesting, Galileo was very, very cautious, who developed the concepts of velocity and constant acceleration as part of his analysis of the laws of falling bodies in his book, Mathematical Discourses and Proofs in the Two New Branches of Science Concerning Mechanics and Laws of Falling Bodies, which he wrote in 1638. Well, the though using only elementary mathematics and basic theorems of proportion, because Galileo didn't have the calculus was developed by Newton, Galileo gives explicit and clear definitions. After describing his experiment of falling bodies, right? Galileo was the guy who actually went up to the Tower of Pisa. I guess the myth is they dropped the two things. That was Galileo, right? He goes on to the exposition of the general case of accelerated motion, either vertically or along an inclined plane. Galileo's work was revolutionary in two aspects: in the actual evolving of formulas for accelerated motion, and in treating time as a mathematical quantity, which could be used in calculation just like the length or any geometrical quantity. In other words, the chiddush of Galileo is that time is mathematical, abstract. T for time. In his well-known theorems, he used such quantities as squares of time, or squares of velocity, and also roots of heights, or the geometric of the other length. In other words, he treats time as a number, as a mathematical entity. His proofs were accompanied by graphs showing portions of time and sections on a straight line. This geometrical representation of time by Galileo was a step of first-class historical significance. Plato and the Timaeus had identified time with the periodic movements of the heavens, and the vocation was expressive of the whole Greek concept of time. Its eternity was equated with the eternal revolutions of the heavenly spheres. So the Maya said, we see already in Plato too, time is contingent upon motion. If it asks me more, so its time is really what's called periodic motion. Aristotle gives a more general definition of time as the number of the movement in relation to earlier and later. Also regards circular motion as the most suitable description of time. In other words, for Aristotle, time is circular motion. Why is it that's the clock? You know, the circular motion of the clock, we don't have clocks like that anymore, but I still have a clock like that, that goes around, that's called time. It's not a mathematical concept. It's a circular motion. He regards that human affairs do constitute a kind of circular succession of events, and that all things that in the order of nature pass from creation to decay move in a circle. And he quotes from Aristotle, quote, even time itself is regarded as a circle, unquote. And I think time is a circle. It's a periodic motion. Thus, throughout antiquity, the concept of time remained inseparable from the measures of time, the clocks. Basically, a clock was time. The circular motion of a clock was time. Every clock, whether it is the earth revolving upon its axis, or a water clock, pendulum clock, is a cyclical mechanism, the function of which can be depicted in terms of a circular motion. So Levi said, time is circular motion. As against this, let's go to the next page, the mathematical treatment of the kinetic problems obliges us to disregard the essential differences between distance and time, and to comprehend them in the abstract coordinates. In other words, once we start describing nature mathematically, right, then you can't speak about a circular motion, because time becomes an abstract number. Physical time is simply a coordinate stretching from an arbitrary zero, fixed according to need, to infinity. In other words, it's like a number line. Its definition was an essential preliminary to the next step, comprehending